Please be seated. Now, students, I'm not saying that you were boring when you got here. It's just that you're a lot more interesting now. And how could you not be? You just spent a year at Bethany Lutheran College. You just spent a year getting a liberal arts education, and that helps make you into an interesting person. It teaches you how to think. It teaches you about all sorts of fields and how to synthesize that information into useful and meaningful things. It teaches you how to interact with the world. We are building brain bombs here in the form of students to drop onto this world. Math and science and business makes relevant contributions into interesting and important fields. Composition and speech teaches you to communicate those ideas effectively and give them maximum impact. Mass communication teaches you to give those ideas a gigantic blast radius. We are making interesting people here for an interesting world at an interesting time. Now, if you've read any Terry Pratchett, you may know where I'm going with this, because after all, there is a curse that goes, may you live in interesting times. Interesting times are oftentimes the roughest times. That's why you see Academy Awards being given to movies that are about the 1940s, not so much about the 1950s. Interesting times can be tough. And being interesting people, can be even tougher, as we'll see. So if that's the case, why did we work so hard to make so many interesting people? Our prayer, of course, is that you're armed with more than just knowledge, that you'll have real power in your hearts and in your minds and in your souls and in your hands. A power that can only have one source. A power that can change your life. A power which can change the lives of the people that you know. A power that can change the world. And so, as a model for us, let's look at a guy who did exactly that. Because Elisha had a very interesting life. He had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He was a man who was put into a position where he could work reconciliation, not just between people, but between nations, where he could work division between nations. He was used by the Holy Spirit to bring faith to people from nations far flung, even Israel's enemies. He cursed some kids who then got mauled by bears. And what professor hasn't entertained that thought a couple of times? I'm just kidding. We love you guys. He certainly lived in interesting times and played an interesting role in them. The kingdom of Israel was divided in half. Temptation was myriad. Believers were being actively persecuted. It was actually a lot like right now, which definitely means he's a useful guy to take another look at. It's useful to take a look at guys like Elisha because we think of them as so far removed. And yet, when we look back on these times, we see God working through them, working amazing things. And as long as we consider these people so distant from us and so different and so removed, it's much harder for us to expect that God can do and will do exactly the same sort of things in our world through us. So let's check out what God worked through him when he was at his most inert. Our reading for today is taken from the 13th chapter of the book of second book of Kings. We'll start at verse 20 and read to verse 21. It says, "Then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet." Consider how little security there must have been in the kingdom of Israel at this time to necessitate this action. They were burying a friend of theirs who was dead on account of the strife that was there in their country at the time. And while they were trying to bury him, another band of raiders is coming along, so they have to toss him into an already dug up tomb. What a terrifying place to be in. A country so weak that it can't stop raiders from running around in there. People's possessions not secure in even the slightest ways, not even a grave to call your own. They didn't know what tomorrow would bring. But it was a safe assumption that it was going to be interesting in that horrible kind of way. Not a lot of security for us right now either. Of course, there aren't raiders running through Bethany, but this is a time where it's very easy to feel ill at ease. Some of you are in chapel today because you're relieved about the results that you just saw concerning tests, and you're here for a prayer of thanks. Maybe some of you are here for prayers of forgiveness or supplication. Some of you have a very uncertain future right now. You're about to graduate. And you've got your fingers crossed that Bethany has maintained a secret program where they wrap $100,000 in the diploma that they hand you. It's an interesting time for all of us. It's an uncertain time. And Elisha in our text shows just how tremendous the power of God can be for those who live in interesting times, and how deeply that power resides in us. Does Elisha heal the man who gets dropped into his tomb? No, he's dead. In fact, he's as dead can be. They don't even drop him on his warm corpse. They drop him on his bones. Are Elisha's bones magic? Of course not. This event points to something that's going to happen to all of us. Our lives are going to end in tombs. They're going to end in graves. But Christ shares his grave with us. We're tossed into his tomb, and we emerge again just as he did. In our text, Elisha is just lying there. He did some incredibly cool things while he was alive. Now he's dead, and you wouldn't expect too much more from him. It emphasizes that this was never Elisha's power that accomplished any of the cool things that he did. It was always and only God's. And that same power resides in all of us. Our message today is even more complete than Elisha's. We're able to point to Christ crucified for us. And that is an amazing power. That is a tremendous power. The power to change death to life. Think about all of the most powerful things that exist in our world today. Nuclear weapons, nuclear submarines, all that we've really figured out to do. The absolute pinnacle of human power has been to apply a mild accelerant to the process of death. We're all heading there anyway. The fact that we can take living things and make them dead really isn't all that impressive. Now, the Christian power, that's something that's amazing. I likened you to bombs earlier, human bombs, bombs made by humans kill and destroy. God's weapons work something that's very different. They restore life. They bring life to death. We're weapons of mass deliverance. The ways in which we interact with this world cause true and meaningful change. And there are going to be days where you're dropped into a tomb, literally and figuratively. And it will be God's power that sustains us. The love of God shining through you reaches to family and friends, and the potential blast radius of what you know and the hope that you have is absolutely incalculable. Interesting times are hard. And we look to Christ for confidence in this. But you can also consider some of the very neat heroes of the faith. When you look at a hero of the faith on their deathbed, very seldom, in fact never, do you ever hear them begging God for just a little more time for all the stuff that they left undone. Very rarely, if in fact never, will you ever hear them talking about or complaining about how rotten and lousy everything was here in this world. Now, the heroes of the faith when they're on their deathbeds, are tremendously relieved to be going home and grateful for the ride that God gave them while they were here on earth. You have been given the same equipment and the same power. So go into an interesting world and do interesting things without fear of failure and without fear of disaster. Your God has conquered all the obstacles so thoroughly that even your tombs have become a blessing. Lead an interesting life that leads others to a blessed eternity. Amen. Please rise. And we'll join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, you have brought us safely to the close of another school year. We thank you for your blessing of this place, where the best of human knowledge is taught, but always in subjugation to your powerful, holy, needful word. Grant us your blessings and the hope of Christ's cross as we await our reunion, be it at the beginning of a new school year, or in your home for eternity, or any point between. Assure us of this hope that we have on account of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.